This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, your weekly hour of old-time radio crime every Wednesday from RelicRadio.com. Before we hear our stories today, a quick reminder, visit RelicRadio.com for more from Case Closed, the series you're going to hear from today. You'll also find thousands of other old-time radio episodes there, all available for free. If you'd like to help keep it that way, give that donate button a click. Your support makes all of this possible. And thank you, as always, to those who have helped out. Today, we're going to start off with Barry Craig, confidential investigator with Ghosts Don't Die in Bed, his story from September 7th, 1954. After that, it's Johnny Dollar and the Unholy Two Matter, his story from January 10th, 1960.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Murderers, by and large, probably lead very dull lives. But there's no doubt about the way most of them wind up. It's electrifying.
The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. An office in a shabby old building on Madison Avenue isn't the ideal place to spend the summer. It isn't ideal for fall, winter, and spring either. But if you're a confidential investigator, you settle for considerably less than the ideal. When the phone rings, though, you hope. Nine times out of ten, it's only the phone company testing your reflexes. The tenth time...
Craig? Barry Craig?
Speaking.
This is Mark Reed, Barry.
Mark, I haven't heard from you.
Listen, I don't have much time. Can you get down here right away?
Well, get down where?
My house. The old tower house. It's right outside Dorning. That's upstate.
Well, I've driven through Dorning.
But don't drive. There's a train at midnight. Faster.
Well, what's my hurry?
Take that train. Tonight, please, Barry.
But why?
I can't say any more. So long.
Mark. Mark. Quite a few years. Nothing special. We'd knocked over a few beers from time to time, discussed the state of the nation, admired sports cars. I'd never figured him for an especially imaginative type. On my way over to the station, I tried to tell myself it was just a fancy way of inviting me to spend a weekend in the country. But then, why had there been terror in his voice?
Ticket, please.
Here you are.
Getting off at Dorning, huh?
That's right. Now, why do conductors always punch tickets and then keep them?
Well, we don't, actually. Except when the passenger is getting off at the next scheduled stop.
That's me. How long before we get to Dorning?
Hour or so.
Train's kind of empty.
Late run, don't get many people.
Makes it nice, quiet, and dull.
Moon shining.
Well, who does that help?
Observation platform, back of the train.
Well, that's nice. Gives you a better view of nothing.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh?
Blonde girl back there, too. Been there ever since we pulled out of the city.
Now, conductor.
Oh, I ain't trying to promote romance. I'm a little worried about her.
Why?
The way she looked. Frightened, sort of. In fact, she stayed out there all alone for hours now.
Oh, it doesn't have to mean anything.
Well, that's why I didn't take any official notice. But I'm still worried.
Maybe I'll go back and see if the moon looks the same from the observation platform, huh?
Well, I think that might be a good idea. Only one thing I maybe ought to tell you.
What's that?
She was carrying her ticket in her handbag. When she opened it to get the ticket, I noticed she was carrying something else in that handbag.
What?
A gun.
Blonde and an observation platform sort of go together, especially when there's a moon around. Blonde and a gun are something else again. Something not nearly so nice. Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't move. Don't come any closer to me.
Okay. You don't need a gun to keep me off.
It's pointing right at you. I know how to use it.
You might try using your brains instead.
Don't trying...
I'm not trying anything. All I am is a passenger on this train.
Sure, you'd have to say that.
I never saw you before. I'm sure you never saw me before.
I never saw the man who tried to kill me before either.
Tried to kill you? Where?
Back in town.
But you did see him.
Well, not really. It was dark. He was in a car. He shot at me.
Well, what did the police say about it?
I didn't go to them. I had to make the train. Why am I telling you this?
I inspire confidence in small children.
I'm not a small child.
You're acting like one. If you let me reach into my breast pocket, I'll show you my credentials.
Credentials?
Yeah. My name's Craig. I'm a confidential investigator.
You get your credentials, but you be careful.
Oh, I'll be very careful. Ah, nothing lethal about a card case, wallet. I'll dump them on the chair here, and then I'll move away. Now, you could look at them without disturbing your aim.
All right. Barry, Craig.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Forget it. Now, put the gun away.
Yes.
Good. Now, what's your name?
Ruth Adams.
How do you do? And why would anyone be taking pot shots at you?
I don't know.
Any attempts on you before tonight?
No.
Well, what's special about tonight? This train trip?
Maybe. I've never gone up before.
Gone up to where?
Dorning.
The girl was small but not skimped. She was pleasant to look at, or would have been had she not been suffering from complete panic. The fact that she was getting off at Dorning might have been a coincidence. I found out back in the club car. Another drink?
No, thanks. I feel a lot better already.
Fine. Now, you're getting off at Dorning.
Yes.
And then you're going on to the tower house.
Oh.
Well, don't freeze up. My knowledge isn't necessarily guilty knowledge. Well, why the old tower house?
My uncle lives there. It's his house.
Mark Reed?
You know him?
Well, he's the reason I'm on this train. He phoned me, wanted me to come out immediately.
Well, I got a telegram from him. It was surprising because I haven't seen him since I was a baby. He had a fight with my father.
And your mother was his sister?
Yes.
Is she alive?
No, she died years ago.
And your father?
He's dead, too. Oh,
don't think I'm just being nosy. I'm trying to find a pattern in... you know if your uncle has any other relatives besides yourself?
Alive? No.
Uh-huh.
Well, have you found that pattern?
The beginnings of one, maybe. The rest will have to wait until... well, till we get to the house, which won't be long now. We got off the train. It turned out we were the only people who got off the train. Maybe because Dorning turned out to be nothing but a decaying wooden shack by the side of the tracks.
This can't be Dorning.
Well, it is. Sign on that shack says so.
But...
hiya, folks.
Easy, Ruth. It's a cabbie.
Buggy's all ready for you, folks. Take you right into Dorning.
I'd hoped we were in Dorning.
No. This here's only the railroad station. Town's a couple of miles south.
Uh-huh. Well, lead the way.
I don't have to ask you folks which hotel you'd like to stop at. Reason is there ain't but one in Dorning.
We're not going to a hotel.
Oh, visiting friends, huh?
That's right. Mark Reed.
Reed?
Yes, at the old tower house. You know where it is?
Yeah, I know where it is. It ain't south like the town. It's north a bit. Not very far. Just walk up the road here about a mile and a half.
Well, hold on. We're hiring you to take us there.
No, you ain't.
Why not?
Well, the further I stay away from that place, the happier I am.
Well, what's wrong with it?
I don't know. I never investigated.
Well, you could be wrong.
Well, I don't want to find out, mister. Would you and the young lady like some good advice? Train's back to the city coming through in an hour. Stay here and get on it.
Well, I'm not that crazy about trains.
Well, you'll thank me for that advice someday.
Well, I'll thank you right now. We're still going to the tower house tonight. If you're afraid to drive us there, take us into Dorning. We can get another cab there or maybe rent a car.
Okay, mister. Get in.
Ruth?
Uh-huh.
I'll take you to the tower house.
Thank you.
I didn't have to make no crack about my being afraid.
But you are.
Well, maybe I am. Maybe the reason you're so brave is because you don't know what you're getting into.
I didn't know, but I didn't have to be brave about anything. I was going to visit an old friend in the country, that's all. Or was it?
Barry, I don't like this.
Well, I've been in better cabs.
There's a feeling about this trip. In the middle of the night to an old house. I love lights and people, Barry.
Now, take it easy. Once we get to the house, it ought to be comfortable enough. Mark's a wonderful host. And it looks like we're practically there. Well, high stone wall, gate.
This is it, folks.
Well, that gate's open. Must lead to a private road. You can turn in and...
Now, the house is about a half a mile from the highway here.
Well?
This is where you get out.
You were hired to take us to the house.
This is as far as I go.
I could make you change your mind.
Please, Barry, don't.
Okay, let's go. Oh, how much?
$2.
Uh-huh. $2. You can keep the change.
What change?
The tip is for your courtesy and cooperation.
Think you're smart.
Get out of the cab and we'll discuss it.
You think you're smart.
Somebody must love him, but it must be uphill work.
Barry, I'm terrified.
Oh, come on. There's nothing to be afraid of.
No, nothing that we can see.
It wasn't too pleasant a half mile. The girl was frightened. The wind was blowing up. There'd be rain soon. The darkness was complete, and I didn't have the beginning of an idea of what we might be walking into.
I don't like that.
The thunder?
Oh, it was so loud. Who knows what it might wake up.
No. That was only a dog.
That was the hound of the Baskervilles, and I want to go home.
The house is right up ahead on that rise. 50 yards more and...
That dog is getting closer.
That's a pet.
Whose? Dracula's?
There he is.
He's going to jump at us.
Doesn't look vicious.
He's as big as a horse.
Oh, here, boy, here.
I'm encouraging him.
No. Easy, boy, easy. Ah, that's a fine animal. He's more afraid of us than we are of him.
We got a better reason.
Ah, he's quieting down. That's a good boy. Come on. We'll take him to the house with us.
I hope they like dogs here. Is that the house?
It must be.
Oh, I don't like it. It looks like a tomb, and Grant never was up here, so...
Oh, it's just an old house. Architect had a lousy sense of humor.
Barry, the dog.
Growling now. Well, what's the matter, boy? What's the matter?
Well, he stopped dead. Barry, he's staring at that house as though...
As though he didn't know it, that's all. Come on, he'll follow us.
He's not following us. Well, he's running away, Barry, in panic.
Well, he's a neurotic hound, that's all. Let's stop worrying about him. Your uncle asked us to come down. The house maybe isn't pretty, but so far we haven't seen anything wrong.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Barry, knock.
Well, there's a bell pull here.
Oh.
Not exactly a happy tinkle, but...
I'm not sure for whom that bell's tolling, but I hope it's not for us.
I hope somebody answers it soon.
Somebody dressed in the latest in shrouds. I know I'm being silly, but if I weren't, I'd be screaming.
Now, you stick to being silly, while I stick to...
Maybe everybody went to the movies, huh?
Oh, what do you want?
Hello, I hope we haven't waked you, but... Well, I'm Barry Craig, and this is Miss Ruth Adams.
What about it?
Mr. Reed asked us down.
Who?
Mr. Reed. Mark Reed.
No, Mr. Reed. Here, you better go.
Here, now, wait a minute. This is the old tower house, isn't it?
It is.
Then Mark Reed's here.
You're insane.
Now, that's my foot blocking your doorway. Now, Mark Reed's here. He owns the house. He phoned me earlier tonight, and he sent Miss Adams a telegram asking us both to come down here.
He didn't phone. He didn't send a telegram. He doesn't live here.
Well, maybe you don't know him. How long have you been?
I've been a housekeeper here for 20 years. Never heard of any Mr. Reed. There's no Mr. Reed here. Go away.
You could be making an honest mistake. You better step away from the door, though. We're coming in.
I wouldn't be so sure of that.
Oh, reinforcements?
Got a gun, Barry.
The complete householder.
I have a gun, and I'm prepared to use it. Mrs. Dunn, what is all this?
Story about a Mr. Reed.
Reed?
I'll spell it for you.
That won't be needed. Why are you trying to force your way into my house?
We were invited here.
By whom?
Reed. Oh, maybe I'm getting monotonous, but it's still Reed.
That doesn't explain your presence on my doorstep.
This is his home.
Fiddlesticks. I purchased this house 21 years ago. It is mine. My name is Loomis.
Barry?
I don't know. My head's starting to spin. Now, Mr. Loomis, has this house always been known as the Old Tower House?
It is known by that name now. Always is a long time. It has been called the Old Tower House ever since I have lived here.
Well, for a lead nickel, I'd buy the theory that Reed was a ghost. But ghosts don't make phone calls. They don't send telegrams.
I'm not very well acquainted with the habits of ghosts. I suggest you carry on your investigation into their customs elsewhere. I should like to shut the door.
Oh, sorry, but that rain's pretty strong now. Our cab's gone back to town. Mind our coming in and phoning for another one?
We have no phone.
Well, in that case, we'll accept your hospitality.
I haven't offered it.
You're not going to send a lady out in that rain.
Well, come in, please.
Thanks.
Mrs. Dunn, will you prepare a couple of the guest rooms for Miss...
Adams.
For Miss Adams and Mr. Craig.
Yes, Mr. Loomis.
You can wait here in this room.
We'll wait.
I don't care for guests in my house. Under the circumstances, I cannot help myself. I hope you will find your rooms comfortable, but I do not greatly care. Good night.
He's been taking lessons in how to become the perfect host.
Thanks for trying to cheer me up. It's all so strange. Barry, where is my uncle?
I don't know. Do you have the telegram with you, the one he sent?
Well, I think... No, not with me. It would be in my bag in another purse.
Oh, your bag. That reminds me. I left it outside on the doorstep. I better go get it before it gets drenched to the pigskin.
Come back quick.
No, don't worry. Now, where did I put... For the second time that night, I was out on Mr. Loomis's doorstep. I began to feel like little Eva heading the wrong way. Well, that didn't work. It would have to be the bells again.
Who the devil... Oh, you.
Me. I was getting Miss Adams' bag when the door blew shut.
Come in.
Ruth. Not in the room I left her. That scream must have come from farther down the hallway. Now, what's this room?
It's the library.
Ruth. The door's locked. Where's the key?
I don't know. Mrs. Dunn looks after the keys.
Well, there's no time. Excuse me while I try to ruin a library door.
Now, look here.
I'm too busy.
The library's empty.
Not exactly. On the floor near the fireplace. Ruth. Ruth's the size of a baseball on the back of her head.
She may have fallen.
Or been struck. Ruth. Take it easy.
My head hurts.
It should. What happened?
Someone hit me from behind. I didn't see.
What made you come to this room?
I heard groans, and then the door was open.
Groans?
From him.
From who?
The man in the chair near the desk. I can't look at him. He was grinning at me.
Yeah, let's get you up now. Come on. There. How's that?
I'm all right.
Fine. Now, which man in what chair?
Well, right there in that
There's nobody in that chair.
Your rooms are ready.
But there was someone. A man, a middle-aged man. His eyes were staring straight ahead, and there was blood on his shirt, a lot of blood.
Now, take a deep breath. There's no hurry.
He died as I came in. I could feel the cold air of death on my skin. He grinned at me, and he died.
Oh, this girl is hysterical. This room's always kept shut.
Well, the windows? Boarded up. Only one door. Maybe it was your imagination, Ruth.
No. Huh? She did see something.
What?
I've lived in this part of the country all my life. That's how I know. The man she saw was the former owner of this house. He died with a bullet through his heart. In this room. In that chair.
Then I was right.
The only thing is, it all happened 80 years ago.
That slowed conversation down to nothing. I took Ruth up to her room, checked it, made sure no one would be able to get in once she locked the door behind her, and then I started out.
Barry?
Yeah?
Before I realized that man in the library was dead, I touched him. And then I wiped my hands on this handkerchief. Look at it, Barry.
Okay. Yeah.
It was blood I wiped off my hands. Do ghosts who died 80 years ago still bleed?
Well, I didn't have a good answer for that. I just made sure she locked her door, and I went off to my room and tried to sleep. I had my troubles. I was glad when morning arrived, along with the eggs, bacon, and coffee. Well, that's a nice breakfast, Mrs. Dunn.
Yes, sir.
I trust you slept well, Miss Adams?
Yes, I slept well.
Yeah, good. That will be your taxi, Mr. Craig.
Well, right on time. Glad he let us finish breakfast. You ready, Ruth?
I'm ready.
All right. Thanks for your hospitality, Mr. Loomis.
Not at all.
We'll find our own way out. Well, what do you know? Mr. Loomis was telling the truth. Let's take a taxi, huh? We got into the cab and drove away. It took a little longer for Ruth to start worrying about it than it had taken me.
Barry, the cab driver, it's the same one as last night.
Yes, quite a happy coincidence.
Coincidence?
Keep your voice down. No coincidence at all. Our boy up front is working dirty hand and glove with dear Mr. Loomis.
How do you know?
Oh, we found out last night there was no phone at the house. How did Loomis manage to get a cab out here so early in the morning?
Oh. Then after he tried to frighten us away from the tower house, the cab driver stayed here.
Uh-huh.
Shh. What are you going to do with that gun?
Apply the back end of it as soon as he slows up for the turn.
Like this.
I hadn't any choice. He disapproved of our low-voiced conversation. He was reaching for his own gun when I lent him mine, behind the ear. The car stalled, which was nice. I tied him up, dumped him at the side of the road, and went back to the old tower house.
The dog, he's crying, Barry.
Yeah, around the side of the house, at the cellar door.
Oh, he's running away.
Probably decided we're friends of Mr. Loomis. This is what he was listening to from the cellar.
That sounds like digging.
Let's go down and check.
Barry! It's Mr. Loomis. He's digging a hole. That body.
Ghost you saw last night. That's Mark Reed, Ruth. And what Mr. Loomis is digging is a grave. Isn't it, Mr. Loomis?
What?
No comments. Or have you been working too hard?
Get out of here.
I don't think so. Why did you murder Reed?
I didn't. He shot himself.
And you're trying to protect his good name?
Very well. I did murder Mr. Reed. A gentleman with a great deal of cash on hand. Cash he was going to leave to your charming companion.
You reel it off so well, keep going.
I have better ideas for that money. Mark Reed became frightened of Mrs. Dunn and myself, who'd worked for him for so long. He sent for you. I tried to have the cabbie keep you from coming here, but... Well,
such frankness on your part wouldn't be wise, would it? Unless something's changed. Your voice changed quality a few moments ago. Lots of changes. What happened? Mrs. Dunn show up at the head of the stairs with a gun in her hand?
Quick, shoot!
She wasn't quick enough. Amateurs never are. They don't realize how heavy a pull you need on a trigger. Don't worry about her, Mr. Loomis. I just winged her shoulder.
I'm not worrying about her.
I should have realized that. Courtesy stops outside the death cells, doesn't it? We got them all into the cab and drove to Dorning. It had a nice jail. They're glad to welcome Mr. Loomis, Mrs. Dunn, and the cab driver. Mark Reed went elsewhere.
I wish he'd asked you to come to him earlier.
You'd have liked him, but forget it if you can.
I'll try. Barry, when we were in the cellar, Mrs. Dunn came in, but not from the outside.
From a fake door in the library is where she came. I expected her.
But how did...
You yourself told me when you went into the library, you felt a breath of cold air on your skin. But the windows were all boarded up, as I mentioned, so...
You knew there had to be another door to the cellar, as it turned out. You know, this is a much nicer trip than the one yesterday.
Mrs. Donna just tried to kill you then. You were traveling deeper into danger. Now, about the only danger you're in, unless you get to the other side of the car...
Is, danger of this, sir?
Uh-huh.
Barry.
Yeah?
I got a secret.
What?
I'm not afraid.
Maybe. But I am. That couldn't swim. Of course, we didn't really know whether he could swim or not.
You have been listening to William Gargan.
He was dead when we met.
In another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's story, Ghosts Don't Die in Bed, was written by Louis Vittes. Regret that with the program you have just heard, we conclude the present Barry Craig series. We hope you have enjoyed them, and we look forward to bringing them to you again sometime in the not-too-distant future. We would like to call your attention to the fact that next week Dragnet changes time of broadcast, and also that next week Lux Radio Theater joins the NBC network on Tuesday night for your better listening pleasure. Consult your local newspaper for the time of broadcast of the Lux Radio Theater over this NBC radio station. The National Broadcasting Company has brought you an NBC Radio Network production with William Gargan, starring as Barry Craig, confidential investigator, directed by Arthur Jacobson. Also heard were Jack Moyles, Charles Lung, Betty Lou Gerson, and Virginia Gregg. This is John Lang speaking. Here is some information that will help you to know more about CARE, C-A-R-E. The letters stand for Cooperative for American Remittances Everywhere, Incorporated. It is a nonprofit organization specifically set up by America's mass relief agencies to provide an effective, economical way for Americans to send food and other essentials to needy persons overseas on person-to-person basis. CARE is approved by the United States government and works under favorable agreements with countries abroad. You may send a CARE package to a specific person or group. Simply give your name and address and the name and address of the recipient, and you will receive a signed receipt upon delivery. If you do not know someone abroad you want to help, one of CARE's member agencies will choose a needy family for you. $5 delivers the new basic CARE food package containing 26 pounds of meat, beans, sugar, and milk powder. $10 will send the larger standard package. Remember, freedom is threatened when starvation and suffering persist. Food will help whip communism in economically weak countries. Send your contribution today to CARE, C-A-R-E, New York. This is the NBC Radio Network.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Are you smoking more now, but enjoying it less? Have a real cigarette, have a Camel. The best tobacco makes the very best smoke. Have a real cigarette, have a Camel. Are you looking for flavor and mildness? Have a real cigarette, have a Camel. The best tobacco makes the very best smoke. Have a real cigarette, a real cigarette, a real cigarette, have a Camel.
Again, for the 11th straight year, Camel outsold every other cigarette, filter, king size, and regular. The best tobacco makes the best smoke. So if you're smoking more now but enjoying it less, change to Camels. Get more real satisfaction every time. Start to really enjoy smoking again.
Have a real cigarette, a real cigarette, a real cigarette, have a Camel.
And now, Act One of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Tri-Western Life Insurance Company Corpus Christi office. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Unholy Two matter. It was a little late in the day to ride all the way to Texas, but I managed to make a pretty good set of plane connections. So, expense account item one, $127.20, plane fare and tips, Hartford to Corpus Christi. Item two, $4 even for a cab in from Cliff Mouse Airport to the Driscoll Hotel on North Broadway. As I was about to sign my name on a registration card for the benefit of the room clerk, well, I guess this is a pretty small world at that.
And I'm sure you're going to find this room very comfortable, Mr. Dollar.
Sure.
Okay, then, Obie, I'll see you first thing in the morning.
Here you are.
Thank you, sir.
Right now, I'll tear it over and tell Wayne Stockton.
Boy, yeah. Take Mr. Dollar's bags up the room.
Dollar? Excuse me. Did I hear the name Dollar?
What's that?
Johnny Dollar, the insurance investigator.
That's right. Who are you?
Well, the name is Doug Johnstone.
Johnstone?
Yes.
Funny. Man by the name of Johnstone dramatizes all these cases I handle so we can put them on the air.
Jack Johnstone.
That's right.
Well, I'm his younger brother, Douglas.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Well, glad to know you,
Doug.
Oh,
yeah, Johnny. Listen, I'm in a big hurry. I've got somebody waiting for me, but I hope we can get together while you're here in town and tear that brother of mine to pieces or something.
Sure, why not?
If you're down here working on a case, if I can be any help to you, you know. Hey, wait a minute. Are you here to look into the Peterson matter by any chance?
Well, frankly, I haven't the least idea.
I wonder. Well, can you tell me this? Did Jack Price over at Tri-Western Life send for you?
Yeah.
Clerk, may I have a piece of paper, please?
Oh, yes, sir. Here you are.
Sorry, I've got to rush out of here, Johnny, this way, but...
Well, who is here, Peterson, Doc?
Here's my address and phone number. That's both the home and the office.
All right.
Now, maybe I can be of help to you, so don't lose that.
Yeah, okay, thanks. But now,
because
Doug,
it is on account of old man Peterson, Johnny, well, I've got some ideas about it, and, well, they could be helpful to you, if, as I say, that's why you're here.
Well, what kind of ideas?
Well, you know he was supposed to have died because his heart gave out on him.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. But if you ask me... Well, if it turns out this is the case you're working on, well, you give me a call now, will you?
Yeah, sure. But look, why not tell me what you know about it?
Well, Johnny, after all, you may be here for something entirely different.
Maybe not.
Well, Why don't you see first what Jack Price has to say, huh?
Well, now, look, Doc, well, you said...
Johnny, this theory of mine could be all wrong.
About the death of some man named Peterson.
Yeah, John Ridgway Peterson.
Well, come on, tell me anyhow. What is your theory?
Well, it may not mean anything to you. You may have no interest whatsoever in Peterson.
Oh, come on, stop beating around the bush, Doug. What do you think about his death?
Well, okay. Murder.
What?
Yeah, Johnny. Murder.
But because neither of us really knew if I'd become involved in it, that was all he'd tell me at the moment. And as he said, he had to run off to meet somebody. It was late, and I was tired after the plane trip, so I grabbed a bite to eat. That's item 3, 2 1/4, then hit the sack. The first thing in the morning, I was in Jack Price's office at Tri-Western.
Well, no, I didn't mean to sound in a rush for you to get down here, Johnny. On the other hand, the hotter the trail, the easier it is to follow.
Whose trail, Jackson?
Sterling Peterson, beneficiary of his uncle, John R. Peterson's life insurance policy.
100,000 clams.
Yes.
And what's happened to him? The nephew Sterling, I mean.
He simply disappeared.
When?
About the same time his uncle died, apparently.
When was that?
5 days ago.
Funny that he should leave town when he was about to be presented with that wad of insurance money.
He didn't know that he was his uncle's beneficiary.
Oh?
No. Old John Peterson never told him. Actually, the old man didn't particularly want to leave it to this nephew, but, well...
Why not?
Oh, they never really got along, as I understand it. The old man had been a hard worker all his life, and Sterling is anything but. Nonetheless, he named him his beneficiary, so that's that.
And his heir to whatever else there is to the estate, huh?
No, that goes to Sterling's half-brother, Paul.
Much of an estate?
Certainly not as much as the insurance. The old man didn't have much use for either of them, Johnny. But since they were his only surviving relatives, since they'd probably get everything he left anyway...
Yeah, I see what you mean. Does Paul live here in town?
Yes.
What does he do for a living?
Apparently has some money in the stock market.
And Sterling?
Johnny, I don't know what he lived on. No visible means of support kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Now, I tried to call him, tell him of his uncle's death. His landlady said he wasn't there. Hadn't been there for a couple of days. That he'd simply packed up his things and left. I'll give you the address.
Yeah, do that.
Then I called his brother, but Paul didn't know where he was either.
Just disappeared.
That's right.
I wonder why.
Who knows?
Have you called the police?
Why? Just because a man suddenly leaves town? That's hardly reason to call in the police, Johnny.
Maybe not.
What?
Sterling didn't know he was beneficiary of this policy.
No.
But maybe he did think he'd get some of the estate if he were lucky and the old man turned up dead. And maybe Sterling needed money.
I understand he always did.
So if he could help the old man on his way...
No, Johnny. The doctor said it was a heart attack.
Yeah? Well, there are a lot of ways to make it look like a heart attack. Has there been an autopsy?
Why, no.
Then have one made. The insurance company's entitled to one.
But you're saying Sterling murdered him?
Maybe.
Johnny...
Just, go ahead and order that autopsy. Item 5, $1.25 for a taxi. I found Doug Johnstone in his office, a small place, but with a cluttered desk of a busy man. Full of stock market reports, that sort of thing. Doug brushed him aside and got right to the point.
Yeah, I've got to know a lot about Sterling Peterson lately. Now, you see, I have interest in a handful of oil wells, a gas compressor station, and things like that.
Ah, lucky man.
Well, I spend quite a bit of time over at Merrill Lynch trading in the stock market.
You met Sterling in a brokerage office?
Well, that's where I met his brother, Paul. That's where I learned about Sterling. Seems he was always trying to get money out of Paul.
I take it Paul is pretty well healed, huh?
Hardly. He's a sharp one. He has a pretty wild idea of how to make money in the market.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's always flattering for someone to ask your advice.
Naturally.
Well, I'd recommend he buy something like IBM. Good, solid stuff for a stable company like U.S. Steel, AT&T.
Nothing wrong with that, brother.
No, but instead, he'd throw his money into some crazy penny stock like, well, Golden Dream Uranium Company. It was being pushed by some crooked promoter, some boiler room operator.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I'd suggest Union Carbide. He'd end up with some speculation nobody ever heard of, and so on. Yet, somehow, he managed to stay solvent. The point is, Sterling was always going to Paul for money.
Money for what?
To pay off his gambling debts. Much as I hate to admit it, civic pride and all that sort of thing, there are plenty of places in and around this town to gamble.
Yeah, so I've heard.
So when a stupid guy like Sterling Peterson simply won't learn that house never loses, well, you see what I mean.
Yeah. And Sterling never really worked for a living.
No, and he was always in debt up to his ears.
Isn't it possible he simply left town because his debts had caught up with him? Some of his creditors were getting tough with him?
Well, Sterling needed money badly, and... Well, Johnny, I think he finally reached the point where he's willing to kill to get it.
His own uncle?
If what Paul has told me about him is true, yes. Now, you remember, he thought that he would inherit part of the estate.
Which, of course, was wrong.
But he didn't know that. Not then.
Then his running away...
Well, the way I look at it, Johnny, if he did kill his uncle...
And you think he did?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Well, when he found out he wouldn't get his uncle's money, his property, after all, that he'd killed him for, well, nothing, he didn't know about the insurance, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, what was left for him around here?
I'll buy.
Nothing. Nothing but a lot of creditors pounding on his door. And once people begin to think about that, they might get suspicious, start asking him questions about his uncle's death. Questions that he didn't have good answers
for. Yeah, but to run out is the surest way in the world to arouse suspicion.
I know. It's stupid. Well, what do you think?
Well, I'm not sure. But thanks. I'll see you later. I took a taxi over to the place where Paul Peterson lived. That's Adam 6, a buck and a half. It was a nice apartment in a fairly good neighborhood. But he wasn't home. Item 7, a dollar even for a cab to the brokerage house Doug had mentioned. I talked to Wayne Stockset, a friend of Doug's. He hadn't seen Paul Peterson around there for several days.
Well, Paul said something about going out of town, Dollar, to look at some of the companies he considers investing in.
I see.
When he gets the money from his uncle's property and so forth, Paul will have quite a bit to play with. And play with is the proper term, despite our advice to avoid so many cheap speculations.
I've heard he's a bit of a plunger.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Well, if he does come around, Wayne, ask him to call me immediately. I'll be at the Robert Driscoll. Item 8, $2 for a late lunch. Item 9, $1.30 for a cab to Jack Price's office.
Now, wait a minute, Johnny.
Yeah?
Instead of hunting for Sterling Peterson, you're just hanging around hoping to find out the old man was murdered.
Well, give me time, will you?
But I tell you, the doctor who was with him when he died said it was heart failure.
And I tell you, Jackson, there are plenty of ways. There are medical tricks. I can't
Hold it a minute, Johnny.
Price speaking. Yes? Already? Well, doctor, what did you... What? Oh. I see. Thank you.
What's the matter, Jackson?
How did you know?
How did I know what?
The autopsy.
Yeah?
You were right. Apparently some drug substituted for the digitalis the old man was taking.
You mean Doug Johnstone was right. The old man was murdered.
Yes, Johnny. Murdered.
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Welcome, recording star Mel Torme.
It's terrible trying to sing with a bad cold. So I always take four-way cold tablets to relieve cold miseries fast.
Good idea. Tests of all the leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting. Four-way starts in minutes to relieve muscular pains, headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, also overcomes irregularity.
When you catch cold, try my way. Take four-way cold tablets. Fast way to relieve cold distress and feel better quickly.
Four-way, only 29 cents.
Now, here's a word about another fine product of Grove Laboratories. To get rid of embarrassing dandruff in 3 minutes, change to Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. 3 minutes with Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep unsightly dandruff away forever. Apply Fitch before wetting hair, rub in 1 minute. Add water, lather 1 minute, then rinse 1 minute. Every trace of dandruff goes down the drain. 3 minutes with Fitch and embarrassing dandruff's gone. At the same time, Fitch can brighten hair up to 35%. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today. And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account item 10, $1.70 for a taxi to the cheap rooming house where Sterling Peterson had lived before his mysterious disappearance. The landlady turned out to be quite helpful.
Well, that chiseling, no-account, tin-horn gambler.
owed me 2 months back rent, Mr. Dollar.
Well, if we can find him. Only I'm beginning
and
to...
And you ask me, there's something mighty suspicious about the way he picked up and left.
Yeah, what do you mean, yeah. Mrs. Toomey?
Well, now, here. Here, now, you look for yourself. You see all them empty hangers in that closet there and them empty drawers I pulled out on the bureau?
Oh, so what?
Yeah, took every stitch of clothes he had. How he ever stuffed them all in them two little suitcases he owned would have been impossible.
So he picked up a tour over, a couple of more handbags.
Without me seeing him come in here with him?
You apparently didn't see him leave.
Well, no. Look here, in the medicine cabinet, in the bathroom. There, every seat.
Yeah, that is funny.
Well, it sure is. Man not taking along his comb and razor and shaving things and his toothbrush and his hair tonic. I don't care how much of a hurry he was in.
Mrs. Toomey, the day that Sterling Peterson disappeared...
You mean the night he disappeared, don't you?
Do I?
All that day, he just sat around here, said he was waiting for his brother. His brother had promised to come and see.
Oh?
Ask me, he was hoping his brother would bring him some money to pay up his rent and things.
Did his brother come around?
At 7 p.m., his brother telephoned. I took the message.
Yeah?
Said Sterling was to meet him at some dive out on Staples Street, so he left.
And that's the last you saw him?
I heard him come back here and up to this room sometime after 2 a.m.
But you didn't actually see him.
I go to bed at a respectable hour.
Then how are you sure it was?
Next morning he was gone, bag and baggage. Must have just plain sneaked out on me.
No, I don't think so, Mrs. Toomey.
What's that?
A couple of things I learned earlier, a couple of things you've told me. And the stuff in that medicine cabinet.
Eh?
Now, I don't think you'd better bank on collecting any back rent. Not from Sterling Peterson.
That deadbeat.
Is he?
Of course he is.
Or is he just plain dead? I went back to my hotel. No, Paul Peterson hadn't called me. But there was a message from Jack Price, so I went to my room and I phoned him.
I just wanted you to know the police are in on this now, Johnny.
As a result of that autopsy?
Yes. They're looking for Sterling Peterson, too. Also, they've been looking for you. They're very anxious to talk with you.
Anytime they like.
After all, it was you brought this thing out in the open by suggesting the autopsy. Because you had the idea that it might be murder.
No, that was Doug Johnstone's idea, and a very good one. Have they talked with Paul Peterson?
Well, I assume they will.
Well, if he's back in town, huh? Okay, Jackson, thanks. Now, let's see. Yeah? Come in.
Dollar?
That's right.
I'm Paul Peterson. I got your message.
Wow. Come in.
I understand that you're an insurance investigator, that you're looking for my half-brother, Sterling.
Ah, that's right. Who didn't know that he was the beneficiary of your uncle's insurance. Sit down.
Well, thanks. I just got back in town from a business trip and...
That's so?
Look, I found these letters waiting for me.
Oh, from Sterling?
Yes, here.
Dallas, Wichita, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Fargo, North Dakota?
Yes, and by now he could be across the border in Canada.
Yeah, maybe.
Read it, Dollar.
Just keep quiet and give me time and you won't have to worry about me anymore.
And yeah, the others are practically the same.
Yeah. Neatly typewritten, no signature.
I'm afraid it's obvious who they're from.
So it looks as though your half-brother is running away. Now that we know your uncle was murdered.
Murdered?
Yeah, that's right.
Sterling.
Type these on your own machine, Paul. That might be pretty easy to trace.
What?
Yeah, with Sterling out of the way, you'd get your uncle's insurance as well as his money and property, wouldn't you?
I suppose so, but I don't see what you're driving at.
Oh, you did things up pretty well, Paul. Much better than your stupid brother could have.
What are you talking
about?
And
all to play safe in case we discovered it was murder.
Dollar.
That so-called business trip. It was so that you could mail these letters to yourself, make it look as though Sterling had done the murder.
Well, he must
have. And what happened? Did you make the mistake of telling him you'd done it?
I? Now, look
After
here.
After all, he would never have thought of substituting for the digitalis your uncle was taking.
Look here,
so
Dollar.
So did Sterling threaten to blackmail you? Is that why you had to kill him, too?
You're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about.
And the tiny thing that tipped me off.
What?
When you went back to his room that night, after you'd killed him, to haul away his stuff, make it look as though he'd taken a powder.
Yes?
Silly little thing. But no man, no matter how much of a hurry, would have left behind his comb, his razor, a toothbrush. And that isn't all.
I say you don't know what you're talking about. Or maybe you do.
Oh, easy, Paul. That gun will make an awful lot of noise in here.
No, not when it's tied up against your back with a pillow over it. Stand up, Dollar.
And if I don't... Well?
Okay, Doug. What? Kick open the door. I'll cover him.
I tried it.
The police.
That's right.
All right. Look, boys.
I said you're covered, Peterson. Drop it.
Johnny, you okay?
Yeah, sure, Doug. You hear it all, Sergeant?
Yeah, sure did, Mr. Dollar. It's funny, though.
Funny?
All I really came up here for was to talk to you. Not much point in it now, is there?
So, another day, another dollar. And I'm not talking about myself. Expense account total, including hotel bill, a flock of incidentals, and a plane back to Hartford, $287.20. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our star will return in just a moment.
Constipation is something people don't talk about much, but it can be a problem for anyone, even doctors. And when constipation occurs, it's interesting to see just what doctors consider important about a laxative they might use or recommend. Well, a majority of the doctors we heard from had this to say.
A laxative should be effective, gentle, as close to natural acting as possible, and a medicine that can be used with complete confidence.
Now, X-Lax has been popular with many doctors and millions of people over the years because pleasant-tasting chocolated X-Lax is effective. Overnight, it helps you toward your normal regularity. X-Lax is gentle. Next morning, it gives you the closest thing to natural action. And that's why many doctors and millions of people use X-Lax with complete confidence. X-Lax. The laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity, gently, overnight. Is X-Lax in your medicine cabinet?
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, a hurried trip to Alaska to look for a clue to a murder. And say, if you've been to Alaska, if you know anything about the customs, the manners of the people up there, especially their eating habits, well, it's quite possible that you'll find a solution to the case even before I do. Or maybe you will anyhow. Because it all hangs on a tiny, seemingly unimportant clue. And yet, well, give a listen. See how well you can break down a killer's alibi. Yeah, join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Jack Edwards, Forrest Lewis, Stacey Harris, Gil Stratton, and Barney Phillips. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Dan Cumberly speaking.
Tangled secrets unravel eerily all through the long night as suspense follows on the CBS Radio Network.
That's Case Closed for this week. Remember, there's more from Barry Craig, yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and thousands of other old-time radio episodes at relicradio.com. Visit donate.relicradio.com if you'd like to help out. Keep it all coming every week. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed.